Back in the VIP room once again, lesson number 52. Ad and I are talking about office jobs, getting promotions, who's doing this, office politics. We're going to get to those terms. And it's quite ironic, actually, Ad, that we keep talking about these sorts of things because we certainly don't have any office jobs, but we know a lot of people who do.
Exactly. We find office jobs very interesting for some reason. Probably the reason is actually because we don't have one and we think they seem really funny because we hear a lot of stories from the workers there and they always like to tell us because we don't have them and we can live in their experiences, I suppose.
Yeah, and we imagine that some of you probably have office jobs because that's what most people tend to do, so you can learn some stuff from this. We're learning a lot from our friends. This dialogue is directly about one of my very close friends who works in a big Fortune 500 company, and it's absolutely hilarious. I don't want to give too much away. I think we should just jump right into the dialogue.
I can't believe I didn't get the promotion. I worked way harder than everyone else in the office.
Who got the promotion?
Some guy who barely even gets to work on time. He takes holidays and sick days all the time, too. Last year, he even took a 2-month leave of absence because he claimed to be burnt out.
Well, there must be some things he does well.
He's a likable and funny guy. Clients always give him great reviews, even though they realize he's not that reliable. I don't get it.
I guess he's got some important intangible qualities and really knows how to play office politics. You should take him out for lunch and pick his brain for secrets. Sounds like you could learn a thing or two from him.
All right, a very realistic dialogue. It sounds like it wouldn't be realistic, but we know someone who's actually going through this, and we're not going to give the company name away because I don't think that's very fair either. And maybe if you own this stock, you would want to sell it, but I think that's insider information.
That is insider information. And the thing is, I think this happens in a lot of big companies anyway. This is not really unique to any big company. And the funny thing is, this is kind of a fake dialogue between two guys in different companies. It's kind of combined what I'm talking about, which that didn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, we've got one friend in one company who can't believe he's not getting promoted. He's working so hard. He's doing all the right things, he thinks. And the other friend is taking all these sick days. He's always complaining, not going into work on time, and he's the one getting promoted. So this is real life stuff. This is real life situations in companies, and we're gonna talk about that. Let's jump into the terms before we go too crazy here. First one is sick days, and this is a set term that is often used in the workplace. And if an employee takes a sick day, it means that they get to stay home from work. Most companies will still pay an employee's salary for a sick day. Different companies, of course, have different rules. Usually, if you take too many sick days, you need to get a doctor's note to quote-unquote prove that you are sick. And it's pretty easy to pull the wool over the doctor's eyes, so to speak, and just go in there complaining, and they normally write you a note anyway if you're good at faking it.
And our friend is good at faking it, and that's also kind of the point of the dialogue here. It's kind of interesting taking sick days, calling in sick. You say you're sick to, I guess, the HR department, and you won't be coming in. A pretty good idea. I think I would call in sick a lot and have a lot of sick days. Maybe I would lose my job, but that would be a risk I'd be willing to take.
Yeah, and even this guy, Ad, is taking the next term here, which is a leave of absence. And a leave of absence is another work term. It means that your boss agrees to let you leave the job for a certain amount of time. Sometimes this is without pay, and it's called an unpaid leave. No big surprise there. And you are allowed to return to work with pay after you finish your leave of absence. So if you've got some big important thing going on in your life, or you just want to take a leave of absence and you have a really good relationship with your boss or whatever, the company just decides to allow you to do this, you can apply for this leave of absence, usually an unpaid leave. And our friend's taking one for 4 months and just going to hang out for 4 months, I guess. It's kind of a weird plan, but sounds pretty good.
Exactly. And you can just start your job right back up when you get back after your unpaid leave or leave of absence. I think it sounds like not a bad idea, but it must be tough going back to work after taking that long of a vacation.
Yeah, well, his real plan in the back of his mind is using this to sort of hedge his bets. And he really doesn't want to take the job back. He just wants that possibility in case he can't find anything better to do. Anyway, a couple sentences here add with this term. I could say he was really stressed from work, so his boss agreed to give him a 1 month unpaid leave of absence.
Exactly. Or many pregnant women are allowed to take what is called a maternity leave for sometimes up to 2 years, which is also a kind of leave of absence.
Right. So maternity is kind of a fancy word for a mother. And if you're pregnant and you just had a baby, obviously you can't or shouldn't work or whatever. We're not going to get into that whole thing. It's pretty obvious. But a lot of companies have to give these women a leave of absence for a couple of years. Sometimes they even pay for it, depending on the company, or pay some of it anyway.
Exactly. Or if you want to take a leave of absence, you might just feel really burnt out, which is our next term here, which means kind of tired of some kind of a situation. This can refer to both physical and emotional fatigue. I think our friend in this case kind of left because he's really burnt out and just kind of tired of working in the company.
He's incredibly burnt. Thailand trip with us. He loved it. Obviously, it's a great trip. And then he goes back to work and he realizes he doesn't like this. He's on the wrong path in life. He wants to get off that track and he's just burnt out. He's tired of the whole thing. So I could say I've been working at that same job for over 20 years now. I feel totally burnt out. I need a change.
Exactly. Or you could say she has to work two jobs and take care of her baby twins. She must be so burnt out.
Yeah, so that would be a very stressful situation for a lot of single moms who have to take on two jobs and take care of twins. Hopefully they're cute twins, but that would be very tiring and you'd be pretty easy to be pretty burnt out at.
I'm burnt out just thinking about that idea. A lot more than I have on my plate. And the next phrase we hear is even though our friend takes all these days off, because he's a very likable guy, he was able to get promoted in the dialogue. And if you're a likable person, it just means that people like them in general.
Yeah, so an example is he's a really outgoing and likable guy. I've never met anyone who doesn't like him. And we all know people who are like that. They're just likable people. You can't get mad at them, even if they're stupid sometimes, even if mistakes. They're just in such a good mood that they're very likable. You just happen to like them, so you call these people very likable people.
Exactly. And the other person in the dialogue didn't get it. And if you don't get something, it means that you don't really understand something at all. For example, the teacher talked for over an hour about one math problem. I'm pretty sure most of the class didn't get it.
Yeah, so Ad's pretty sure that most of the class did not understand the math problem. That certainly happens quite a bit, and we hope that happens quite a bit, and we hope that you are getting this podcast. Obviously, you probably are since you're in the VIP in life and loving to hear that, Ad. But next one, or not the next phrase, but another example of not getting something is his girlfriend is so pretty and sweet. I don't get why he would want to leave her. So I don't understand why he would want to leave her. And in the dialogue we used, I don't get it in the sense of, you know, the guy saying he didn't get the promotion. Somebody else did. He doesn't get it. He's really confused why. He thought he would be the right candidate to get promoted, to go up in the workplace, but he didn't. Maybe he's not as likable of a guy. Maybe he just doesn't understand what the big deal is.
Exactly. Or maybe he doesn't have as many intangible qualities as our friend that takes a lot of holidays. And intangible qualities are qualities that are hard to explain or define. You could describe about some basketball player, for example. He doesn't score a lot. He's not very fast or tall. He is still, however, one of the best players on the team because he has a lot of intangible qualities. For some reason, you know, he has qualities that make him a good player. It's hard to say exactly what they are.
Yeah, he's not fast. That's really clearly definable. Scores a lot, great defense. But some players are just, they have these intangible or kind of, they're almost like weird qualities. You just don't know why they're good, but every time they're on the floor, they seem to win. And our friend in this situation, in the office, nobody knows why he's doing so well, but he gets a lot of sales. He's not even that good at sales, but he's got these intangible qualities. I guess some sort of a mix of qualities, like being likable, funny, kind of smart, but those are definable. But intangible is something that's hard to define, but they're useful usually. Usually this is in a positive way if you're talking about intangible qualities.
Right, they're not usually negative intangible qualities. You don't hear about this being talked about.
Another kind of intangible quality, Adder, I'm not even sure if this is considered an intangible quality, but it's definitely a skill that is very necessary or useful anyway in the office, is the ability to play office politics. And this is a term that refers to how well you handle your relationships with different people in the company. And these are not personal romantic relationships, which you should not be doing. A lot of people do, and they have to keep that a secret. But these are like business relationships with your boss and coworkers, and it's very important. So I could say about someone, he isn't the smartest or most educated guy, but he keeps getting promoted because he really understands office politics. And in another lesson, we talked about playing the game in a business setting. And if you can play the game, that means you have very good office politics. You really know how to work people to your advantage and get them to like you. And just pretty much everybody has a good feeling about you because you handle these different relationships well. That's playing office politics well.
And yesterday we were talking to this friend and we got to pick his brain about what was going on in the workplace. And if you pick someone's brain, it means you ask them a lot of questions about a certain topic to learn from them. And we asked our friend about this topic and he said he's very good at micromanaging people. So you might want to learn how to do that as well. And you might want to learn from our friend and learn to micromanage people. And you might be able to take a lot of vacations yourself at your job.
Yeah, of course, you have to have built up quite a lot of savings. And depending on the company, that's not really for everybody. And I think you should probably explain what micromanaging is. He didn't. And I'm not even sure I know for sure, but micro means small, managing, we all know. And I think it means just managing little sets of people or managing each relationship.
Yeah, I think that's how he meant it. I'm not even sure he necessarily knew what he was talking about. He likes to say a lot of terms without really knowing the definition, I think.
Yeah, he's a native speaker, but sometimes even he doesn't know the words, and he's made a few jokes, but they're not even really jokes that he should be signing up to the VIP section. And we haven't given it to him for free, even though he's our best friend. So that says something about us, Ed.
An example of pick his brain could be, that CEO keeps coming up with some amazing ideas. I'd love to pick his brain to see what his mindset is.
Exactly. Great example, Ad, even though I was the one who wrote it. But Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple, or I don't even know if he is the CEO anymore. It always keeps changing. But anyway, he's a guy I'd like to pick his brain for some business ideas. He's rolled out the iPad now, and apparently that thing's doing incredibly well. I haven't even seen it yet, but I'd love to. at some point. I'd like to pick the guy's brain and see. He's obviously got some really good understanding of how people buy stuff and what people want.
Exactly. Maybe even you and I could learn a thing or two from him. And if you learn a thing or two from somebody, it's just a set phrase that means you can learn a lot from them. It doesn't mean one or two things. Usually you're saying it in a funny way, and it means you could really learn a lot from that person.
Yeah, so I could say, look at how hard he works at his job. We could certainly learn a thing or two from him if we want that kind of success. Over here at the 232, we've had some work problems in terms of just being able to be consistent. That's a really big, that's not even an intangible quality. That's just a really important quality if you're doing any sort of business at all. But when we do pull up our socks and start working, business goes a lot better. And we know one friend who doesn't have a lot of talent in what he does, but he's making a ton of money because he works so damn hard. And we could really learn a thing or two, or to take another word that we used in a previous podcast, take a page out of his book ad. Anyway, it's a lot of terms and a lot of real life business stuff, office politics. I think we've all learned a thing or two from this podcast, hopefully.
I know I've learned a thing or two, and I hope we all did today at China232.com.